2 Kings chapter 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria. Who, what? Wait, what? Okay, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 40. Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Him and Jehoshaphat go into business together with the ships that got ruined at the port, and Jehoshaphat says, yep, I got the download, Lord. Thanks for the heads up. I'm out. Ahaziah still wanted to do that. So when is a king, or a new administration, or a new sheriff, whatever, there's always somebody wants to test to see what they're made of. So here, Moab, David had them boys paying taxes and everything else. You got to remember, Moab is one of the offspring of Lot. Moab and Ammon, the Ammonites and the Moabites, if you remember. And like I say, David had them boys. But now here it's several iterations later, several kings later. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahab's a strong man. And they said, yeah, okay, let's see what the kid's got. And Ahaziah, well, how come he's not out in battle? Well, he's not. And Ahaziah fell down to a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this disease. Now, that's wrong on so many fronts. Now, what's the first thing that's wrong? I got to show you this, and I thought this was interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. It's only one verse anyway. It's a, instruction, right? Deuteronomy is wonderful. Jesus quotes it more than any other book that he quotes. He quotes Deuteronomy more than any other Old Testament book. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. A battlement? What? Well, it sounds like a rampart or, walls to in case somebody's besieging your house or something. No, a battlement is like a parapet. You got to remember, the patio is up on the roof. You guys been to Israel, you'll attest to this, that the roofs are flat, and it's still everywhere, still. It's still that way. The patio is like upstairs on the roof. They don't have to worry about that much snow. They'll get some, but they're not going to get 7 or 8 feet of it like we're going to do. And all of a sudden that 3 feet of snow is going to be in your living room when your roof gives way. No, it's nothing like that. So in the cool of the day, they go up to the patio upstairs, and it's a nice gentle breeze, and it's very lovely. But you don't want your little, you turn your back for 1 second and your little toddler toddles right off the edge of your roof, falls to their death. That'll spoil your garden party, right? So God says, build a parapet, a handrail, a little wall, a little like knee wall, so that wouldn't happen. He doesn't obey any of God's word. Why is he falling from upper stories? Through the lattice. He didn't say build a lattice. It's just interesting to me, right? If you follow God's word, you follow all of God's word. You know what I mean? I don't care about... He probably never opened a parchment, a scroll, in his life. You remember the kings were supposed to write down a copy of the law. Some say that's the book of Deuteronomy. Some say that's the entire, what we would call the Pentateuch, the first 5 books. I don't care, either one. He would have got this, and he would have said, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to build a parapet up there. He gets his builders up there, bada bing, and now he's okay. So that's the first place he missed. The second place he missed is he's going to inquire of Beelzebub. If you have a god named Beelzebub, if your god is Lord of the flies, you might have the wrong God. Just an idea. Just something you might want to think about, right? So he says, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover this disease. So apparently he's hurt. And he wants to know, okay, what's going on? Am I gonna get better? I think the answer is yes, if he inquired of the Lord, because it looks like there's a definite cause and effect. God says no and because. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Where's Ekron? It's one of the five cities of the Philistines. Call it modern-day Gaza. Not the exact city of Gaza, but the Gaza Strip there. They never rooted out the Philistines. It's a problem to this day. Interesting. Yeah, go tell them messengers. Intercept them and say, yeah, why are you going there? Isn't there a God? Weren't you guys around Mount Carmel? Didn't one God answer and another God show up absent? What's the problem here? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. Nobody's asking God, but he offers the information anyway. And it looks like a cause and effect because he's going to inquire of Beelzebub. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come. Oh, verse 5. When the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto them, there came a man to meet us and said unto us, go turn again to the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed. Therefore, see, I think that's why this is, like I say, cause and effect. It's not just, hey, you're going to die anyway. God's saying, you're standing on my last nerve. No, you're not going to come down. Therefore, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. If he knows Elijah the Tishbite, shame on him for going to inquire of the god Beelzebub of Ekron. Why didn't he go have somebody go find Elijah? Maybe it would have been the difference between his life and his death. Like father, like son in this case, to his detriment. So just by that, okay, he's a hairy man. And he's girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. That's enough of a description. And the king sent unto him a captain of 50 and his 50. So there's a captain of 50 and his 50. That's 51 people. There's the captain and his platoon, as it were, or whatever you want to call it. And he went unto him, and behold, he sat on top of the hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. Now, we don't know the tone of voice, and we don't know when he says man of God if he's acting sarcastic. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven. It's the same come down phrase that the guy said, come down. He says, yeah, if I am a man of God, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. In the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, one of the two prophets there, they have the ability to call down fire from heaven. Elijah seems to be uniquely his. He does that on Mount Carmel. He does it here. And, you know, the Old Testament ends with the coming of Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. So we always think that Elijah is one of the witnesses. I always do. Yeah, if I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and the 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. Now, he didn't call it in and say, yeah, me and my guys are dying here. We got destroyed. Or there's no, it's not on the news or something. He just... It was a while, and he's saying, I didn't get any, nobody, I didn't hear from anybody yet. If he knew what had happened, I don't know if that would stop him. He's not somebody who has a regard for life, obviously. You know, we try to make our case for pro-life, and we discuss this with people, and but it's a baby, and you know what it always comes down to? If people, like, okay, I was in Seven Oaks teaching back when it was, you know, back when it was Seven Oaks, before it was CRD, right? And them guys, every one of them was pro-choice. Why? They didn't know the Lord, and they were fooling around, and they didn't want to get 18 years of child support. So, oh, here's a few $100, honey. Take care of it. And they would tell me this. And now they're all pro-life. What happened? Because they met the Lord and the giver of life. I'll give them a hall pass. I don't make a lot out of people's BC days. If we could get them saved, the pro-life would take care of itself. Now, to be sure, there are people who are not saved who are pro-life. Okay, we know that, and that's a good thing. You know what I mean? So, but this guy has no regard for life. He's not pro-God. He's not pro-life. That's always the problem. You're expendable if you get in the way of people who are trying to wield power. Your life means nothing to many people. So he sent another captain of 50 with his 50, and he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly. Now quickly, right? you better speak with a little bit of respect there, right? Elijah Anson said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Okay, that's 102 people dead. You say, Adam, but those people who went with, they were just doing their duty. Yeah, isn't that always the way? That's why sin, I think, is so exceedingly sinful. Innocent people get caught in the crossfire. You say, God ought to, he didn't, they ought to, well, one, they signed up, or they're there in a position where that can happen. And two, if they're men of God, don't worry, they just went to be with their Heavenly Father. But the problem with sin is that innocent people suffer. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 and his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said to him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50, thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Now that's a good attitude. I'm following orders, but I can follow them my way, can't I? The king wants to see Elijah. I don't think he wants to see me burnt up necessarily. So this guy here, he does it right. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Apparently, he got word. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said to him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers. So the king wants this interview with Elijah. Elijah comes in and just like, hey, it ain't going to rain until I say it's going to rain with his old man. I don't think he's waiting to even the question. Hey, let me tell you what's going on. It looks like, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. Now, so he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Immediately, right there at that second, like the guys, the 50 that get burnt up. No, I think there was a time, there was an interval, God being very gracious and giving him a chance to repent, if he would. Did he? Who knows these things? He's saying, well, Adam, he's kind of not a good guy. Yeah, neither was Manasseh. And God gave him space to repent. and he repented. You know, I say God is gracious, and I think we all know that. There's no question about that. You know, when you see somebody like being turned into a pillar of salt or this, that, you say, wow, God, easy. You're having like a... It's because we're so used to his grace, we don't sometimes give him room to be just. And we don't know all the intricacies of how many stop signs that person ran through and how many times, you know. I say it this way, you know, this time that you hear the gospel, is it going to be the last time? I never know the answer to that. At some day, okay, Noah, get your family into the ark, and God closes the door, and the rain starts. You had 120 years. What's your problem? You know, I just think God's gracious. I'll defend that. I think I make that case every time. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. So we have a Jehoram up north and a Jehoram down south. Sometimes they're called Joram. It's very confusing if you're keeping score. Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. That's to say, Ahaziah had no son. We don't care. It just doesn't go from father to son like the southern dynasty does. You know, this one kills everybody and he assumes the command, and it's just... that doesn't happen in the southern kingdom. How many dynasties in the southern kingdom? One. House of David. Begin and end. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Chapter 2. I think this is very exciting. It's got some stuff here. This is the translation of Elijah. I meant to look it up. I think before I found six people or seven people in Scripture who are translated. And you wouldn't, it's kind of like non-obvious. Say, well, Enoch, Elijah. But like Philip. In chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and you can look this up, and Jesus was. He's caught up to heaven. Like in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, do you remember when Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he baptizes them, they come up out of the water, and the Spirit of God took Philip. The word is, it's the same word that we get raptured from, the exact same word in the Greek. And Philip was found where? Azotus. You mean thief, like thief in the night? Yeah. And I've said before, the Holy Spirit engages in parody and puns and wordplay. Was he pointing to, like, does he rapture Philip and then bring him to, like, a place called thief? So we would think, like, a thief in the night? I think so. I don't think anything happens by coincidence. Now, I can't always explain, but I've always said that proper nouns in Scripture are always pointing us somewhere. They're always telling us something, right? Chapter 2. Now, we're going to say goodbye to our friend Elijah. It's not so sad because he doesn't die. You know, we're studying the book of Joshua, and then Joshua's old and full of days, and he dies. And we're like, oh, man. And we're studying David, and David's old and full of days, and he dies. And we go, oh, man. But Elijah's a little different. We like Elijah. Elijah had an Elijah complex. But that's not sinful. That's just despairing of life. Sometimes when you just feel like, you know, that you're the only and you're persecuted and you have no fellowship and you're run down and beat up and... But he's not a bad guy. We don't see his, like, him being a horrible human being at any time. Like, even David has his famous sins, his you know, things that he does, and we kind of, that's not good, you know. But Elijah, we kind of like him a lot because he's bold, he's a man of God, he's colorful as all get out, right? And now he's going to leave colorfully. Came to pass, and the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Okay, spoiler alert, God's going to give us the end from the beginning. You know, people don't know anything about the Bible, know about Elijah being taken up into heaven. There's a little bit of a debate. Was it a chariot or was it a whirlwind? Or is it, how do we put them together? I don't exactly know. Here he's taken up to heaven by a whirlwind. That Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. I think they've been together about 10 years now. You know, time passes in Scripture and we don't always aware of what's going on. And we have to like date kings and their reigns and a lot of things to figure stuff out. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, the house of God, right? Why is Elijah saying to Elisha, hey, you stay here. God sent me to Bethel, but you don't have to go. You stay here. What was that about? Elijah knows today's the day. Boy, wouldn't I like to have an advance warning? It's not given to us, is it? When are you going to be raptured? Hopefully today. Hopefully today. What else can we say? Now, unless we're sending up a storm, we want that. If we're, you know, drunk or high or just doing something despicable, then oh no, Lord, well, let me get sober first. But if we're not, obviously we want the Lord to come back. Most all of us, most all of the time. Elijah knows, and Elisha knows, and the school of the prophets all know. So the question is, if you did know, if you knew you're going to be raptured next Tuesday, what would you do? When John Wesley was asked that, he said, keep my appointments. He had a preaching engagement, then rapture. I think that's wonderful. I always said, when I was working, working for a living, tent making, you know, I'd say, I'd go to work. God called me to work. I'd go to work, I think. There was hints about Abraham Lincoln's assassination before it happened, and because there was a plot and this and that, and I can show you stuff that YouTube stuff and interesting stuff, historical stuff. And he was told, you know, they're coming after you. And he'd say, you know, a man shouldn't worry too much about his death as long as he dies at his post of honor. I think it's the same kind of thing, right? Whether you die, whether God sends for you, whether he comes to get you or sends for you. Either way, right? You want to be where he wants you to be. You want to live life like this is the last day. What does he want me to do? Well, I was going to study this and I was going to, you know, prepare for this. And I want to be found doing what he wants me to do. Whatever that looks like, whatever it is. Now, so tomorrow I'm planning on a round of golf and a fishing trip. First time of the year with my buddy Ed. I've had one round of golf so far. I got to repent from that, and I got to, no, it's rapture time. So I got, no, I think even in our leisure, even in our, you know, God wants us to Sabbath, to rest, to enjoy, to be out in his creation, things like, I think, listen, if I had real problems with that, I wouldn't be doing it. Isn't that how you feel? About anything that I'm doing. I work a lot still, I like to. I don't like to have, you know, grass growing under my feet. And I want to stay busy. I want to keep a hand in it. I want to, I think that's honorable. I think. And I, whatever I'm doing, whether it's, you know, cleaning out the garage or siding the house or painting the bathroom, like whatever. It's all honorable. If that's what God finds me doing when he comes back, I'm good with that. I can't remember who it was. I like the quote, but I can't remember. If the Lord come back like today, what would you like him to find you doing? He said, I'd like him to find me on the floor playing with the kids. I like that answer too. That one's good. Shameful. No, wonderful. Priorities, right? No, you stay here. God sent me to Bethel. Elijah said to him, as thou, the Lord lives, and the Lord does live, and as your soul lives, I ain't going anywhere. So they went down to Bethel. Can't get rid of this guy. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. You know, they don't go to Elijah. It's funny to me. I think he's very austere. I don't want to get him mad at me. I don't want a fire to fall down from heaven and burn me up today, you know. But Elisha is very huggable guy. He's very, he's warm, he's friendly. Elijah, I think, is unapproachable. You know what I mean? Two incredible different personalities. And personalities are only personalities. We all got them. And they're very different. I applaud God's genius. If we all like the same. I know that sometimes the differences drive you crazy. Some people have no regard for the clock, whatever. Yeah, I'll be at your house at I'll come pick you up at 7 o'clock. We'll go to the meeting, we'll be there by 8. Well, he comes at 8:05. We're already a half hour late, but it just makes it. You know what I mean? Like whatever. Some people they have no regard for, and it just. But I think God makes people like, yeah, don't worry. Keep your shirt on. We'll be there. It'll be fine. You know, and they're not broken and need to be fixed. They're just different from me. I think we have to allow for those things. Like some people are just, and it's. I was going to tell that story. I think I'll get myself in trouble. But there's just differences. And they're not like bad where people have to repent or anything else. I think Elijah is austere. And I think Elisha is huggable. He's like a real people person. He's very approachable. I think so from what a little said about them and what I can glean. So they come to Elisha and they said, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold you your peace. Like, shut up. You know? Yeah, I know. What's hold your peace? Like, yeah, that's an interesting bit of information. I'd like to know that. But it's almost like, hey, wait a second. Hey, listen, snot nose. I'm Elisha. Didn't you read the? I don't think it's that because I don't think he's like that. I don't know, understand all I'm reading here. Hold your peace, like it's intense, like he's trying to, every last second he can spend with his spiritual father in a lot of ways, right? And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Now, I don't know if you know, so Bethel means house of God. Where's Jericho? House of the moon god. So is that a contrast? Is that, you know, what happened at Bethel? What happened? Bethel is a place where when Jacob was fleeing from his brother that he stopped, he used the rock for his pillow, he slept, and the angels of God were ascending and descending from heaven on the staircase, not really a ladder, but do you remember? That was Bethel. You can, you know, look through and you see some of the things that happened and you think, oh, what's going on here? We know about Jericho. Jericho is the first, biggest, baddest city that they came to, the Amorite city that when Joshua came into the land. Is that what it's all about? So he's going here and there and checking on the different schools of the prophets, it seems to me. You stay here, I'm going to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? So they all got the download. They really are prophets. And these schools of the prophets, they all know what's going on. And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Same thing. It's almost like a joke, you know. The scripture does this a lot, you know. the third time, and then it's the payoff, you know. But it's interesting to me. And a lot, why? Why is this all like that? I don't have no idea. I really don't. I thought it was a lot of that. I don't know. Why does he keep telling him, hey, you stay here? And is this, and it's a suggestion, it's not a command. It's not like he's disobeying. Elijah's the boss. He's kind of like the apprentice. Yeah, I ain't doing that, boss. It's not snotty, it's not arrogant. He's saying, no, and he's suggesting, you stay here. Why is he doing that? Some sort of test, I'm thinking. Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee, verse 6, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. What does Jordan mean? To come down or to flow down. Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. So he can't shake the kid, right? And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. This time it's 50, like the 50 that were burnt up. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood on a view far off, and they too stood by Jordan. So they went, they stood to view afar off. Okay, they're not like walking up to him or nothing, they're looking. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. I love King James sometimes. Hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Wow. That's just remarkable. God did that for the children of Israel, but they were in a desperate situation, weren't they? You know, Pharaoh's army bearing down on them. God did that again at Jordan when they came into the promised land. And I think part of that was to take the spine out of their adversaries, to wit, Jericho. Here, it just seems like whimsy. I can do that because I can do that. I mean, they can pass Jordan if they want to. Those of you who have been to Jordan, it's a creek. We'd call it a creek, right? With really good PR. That's all I can say. But it's different. It's different. In the spring there, and I don't know what time of year this is. In the spring there, you know, back when all the water came down from Hermon, now it's dammed up and it's used and there's, you know, aquifers, people drawing off it for agriculture and things like that. So it's very managed now. But before, when it's just, the spring where it's raining, the water's melting, coming down off Hermon, which, by the way, has snow all year round, then it's overflows its bank. It could be a half mile in some places with the water moving fast. Do we know that it's that right now? I don't know it. But here, it doesn't matter. Because even when, I don't know, like so we're going hunting, it's late in the year, right? And if we had a dry year, there are places that I can walk across in my regular boots that come up to about here. Now, there are some times where my hip weight is, and the water, same water is up over my knees, halfway up my thighs, same place. Depending on how much rain we had. You say, why would you do that? Because there's some places we know where the deer go and people don't. And if you have enough heart to go after them, you're going to be very successful. And so, but if it doesn't rain a lot, people aren't in those places anyway, you know, but deer are. But if it doesn't rain a lot, you can just walk through. You don't have to switch out your foot gear, just your regular boots that come up halfway up your below your knee. You're fine. But it's never dry. And even no matter how much it doesn't rain and we're in drought conditions, it's still mucky and miry and you still slog your way across, right? It's never dry. And think about, we have a rushing river, smack, and all of a sudden it goes hither and thither, right? Water generally doesn't, it definitely goes hither, but it generally doesn't go thither, right? But it's dry. Think of what's involved here. Incredible to me. I love reading stuff like this. Because, you know, I think about Lord sometimes, and I think about somebody's, how stubborn they are. Oh, the stubbornness of men and women can be, oh, can be fearful. This God is like, takes water and goes, psh. Men's hearts are like water in the palm of his hand, the heart of the king. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. He's loving. He's all-powerful. He's got two things going for him, and I'll be either one of those. I can't see it. I can't see how it's going to happen. We said that about your sister, you remember? Never. That can't ever until it happened. And there have been people along the way who are just impossible, impossible until the impossible happens. This is impossible in the natural, okay? They went over in dry ground, it came to pass when they were gone over. Then Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. What do you want? Why are you following me around? Why are you pestering me? No, he understands what's going on. I mean, he's a prophet, right? What shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, of course, everyone knows Elijah did 8 miracles and Elisha does 16. A double portion does fall on him. But I don't think that's what he's asking. A double portion, like the firstborn. Okay, we got 3 schools of the prophets he just checked on, right? At least. I'm your firstborn, your son, your inheritor, it's you and me, isn't it, Elijah? I mean, I've been following you for like 10 years now. I'm your prodigy, or your fair-haired boy. He's his father to him in a very real way, in a very real and tangible way. And he's saying, I want the double portion. Not just, I want to be twice as mighty as you. I don't think that's what he's asking. You know, the inheritance here and the eldest gets the double portion. That's already well established. And I think that's what he's saying. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. If you can see the spiritual, if you can look beyond, if you have the faith, like when Elisha and his servant are at Dothan and the place is surrounded by Syrians, I think it's Syrians at that time. Master, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? Oh, God, open this guy's eyes. Elisha sees the other realm. Now, I don't know if that's something we can develop. Listen closely. I don't know if that's something we can develop. God can give us that spirit that prophesies, that can see things. I think we have eyes of faith and we can make choices based on that faith. Can we see into the other realm? Boy, I wish you could. I'm just sharing. And by the way, if you don't have a spiritual gift, what's that? None of us have them all. And when we admit to not having a certain one, it doesn't mean God's bad or he's bad toward us or he's holding out. He wants us all to have gifts and consolidate them in such and such a way that we are a composite picture of Jesus Christ. And if any one of us has all the gifts, that wouldn't, no, I don't think any of us could live with that. Would be too, wouldn't we be impossible to be around? I don't have, there's so many things I don't have. I'm not broken. I don't need to be fixed. I don't need to repent. I don't have that. Why? Because I need you in my life to complete the picture. I think that's it. I would have that supernatural sight. I can see it in Scripture and say, look at, there's more on our team than there is on their team. Don't worry about it. I can say that because I read the, but you could say that too, but can I see it? So when Elijah is saying this to Elisha, he's like, you know, if you got the insight, if you can see it, then yeah, I think that's how it is. It came to pass as they still went on and talked. What are they talking about? They just walked across a dry riverbed. Hey, how about them Mets this year? You think they got it? Well, I don't know if they're pitching well. What are they talking about, the weather? It says, and they went and they talked. Well, of course they're talking because, you know, this is their last visit. I think there's a little bit of pathos here. There's a lot of bit of excitement. Put yourself in a situation. Hey, today's rapture day. What are you talking about? Came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. Okay, so here it is. There's a chariot of fire and it parts them. They're walking next to each other talking like we do, right? And all of a sudden this chariot of fire comes between them. Does he go up in the chariot of fire? And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. What's the chariot of fire that everyone says that Elijah went up in? It doesn't look like me in the plain reading. I don't see it. And I'm a heretic, I guess, and that's fine for what it's fine for. Well, I think we're victimized by our third grade Sunday school flannel graph. They had flannel graphs back in the day, right? And we had a little coloring books, and we Rich Mullins, when I leave, I want to go out like Elijah with a whirlwind to fuel my chariot of fire. At least he has the whirlwind in there in the lyric. I don't know. But he goes up by a whirlwind. Is the chariot of fire, is that diversion? Like, hey, get out of here, you chariot of fire and horses. I ain't got time for you. I'm checking out Elijah. And he went up in the whirlwind. Now, I don't want to make a big thing about this, but plain reading of Scripture seems to me he goes up in a whirlwind into heaven. Now, the transportation is less important. He went to heaven without dying. Like Enoch. And that some make him the other witness because they both died during the tribulation. And, well, Enoch never died, and it's given to men to die but once, and then the judgment. I don't see it that way. And you know why I don't see it that way? Because it's not given to men to die once. It's a general rule. Everyone you know, if they live long enough, they're going to die. Correct? What about you? What if you're raptured? Then you don't die at all. We're not all going to sleep. That's what the Scripture tells us. No death, boom, right to heaven. Do I have to die? No, you don't have to. So there are exceptions to the rule. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Hebrews chapter 11. Now we have him coming back and dying, but he should not see death. I'm just telling you what that's my take on that. And you say, well, what about Moses? He's the other big contender, but he already died. And we know he died scripturally. He died. The Lord buried him. You don't bury live people. That would be nightmarish, right? He died. Well, he's going to die twice. Like Lazarus, like the widow of Nain's son, like Dorcas, like Eutychus. I can't remember. The boy who fell asleep there when Paul was preaching all night. I think it was Eutychus. So some people die more than once. And then, of course, if people died and they're clinically dead and they have an out-of-body experience and they're brought back with the paddles or whatever, how about them? So it's given a man to die and then the judgment. I think what it's saying is you only get one go-round. That successfully refutes the idea of reincarnation. You're going to die. You're going to stand before God. Think that all the way through. I don't think it's really talking about zero deaths or two deaths. Or some people have died several times, I guess, hit by lightning, heart attack, different things, right? Elisha saw it. That was the condition. Whatever chariot of fire, whatever whirlwind, whatever, Elisha saw it. That was the condition. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. My father, this is a heartfelt. He was his father. You see that? In a very, very real way. Those of us who had spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers that took us under their wing and were like a father, like a mother to us. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Real grief. Real legit. Yeah, he's happy. He got promoted. But it don't matter. When somebody dies and we love them, there's tears, of course. And there's real grief, of course. That ain't you being a punk. That's you being a human being. He took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. Hither and thither. Yay. And Elisha went over. Where's the God of Elijah? Is this a test to see if he had got the double portion? I think in a very large way, the answer is yes. What happens if the water doesn't part? He's still going to go over. He's going to swim, or they have lines that they pull him side, whatever, right? And God graciously given him the same ability to in this one instance, to dry up the river so he can go over, and God confirming his calling on Elisha. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, this isn't idolatry. This isn't worship. This is just like awe, and it's a little bit of like, they know about the spirit of Elijah, and they're saying, okay, he's the new sheriff in town, and they subscribe him as so. So that's as far as we're going to go. It's going to change right now, and I don't want to take up the whole hour all the time. When we don't have worship, it just seems like, 45, 50 minutes is enough.